Chapter 10. The Snowmobile in the Desert. Let's face it, we're good. We're really good. I mean, we're the best thing that ever lived. This is not the ramblings of an egomaniac. Just look at the world around us. Other animals just go about their days, looking for food, procreating, and operating on instinct. But not us. We do so much more than operate to survive or grow our population, though we will do that as well. We invent, build, and achieve things unachievable by any other species on the planet. Gazelles didn't build the pyramids. We did. Gorillas didn't figure out the combustion engine. We did. And it's all because of our remarkable neocortex, the part of our brain that separates us from the other mammals. It is our neocortex that gives us the ability to think rationally and critically about the world and solve complex problems. It is because of our neocortex that we can speak and communicate in a way vastly more sophisticated than any other species on the planet. It is this ability that allows us, among many other things, to pass on our lessons to others so that they don't need to relearn everything we've learned. Each generation is able to build on the lessons of the previous generations so that we can make real progress in the world. This is what it means to be human. We are achievement machines. However, as great as our neocortex is at helping us get things done, it is our primitive limbic brain that controls our feelings, our ability to trust, our ability to cooperate, our ability to socialize and build strong communities. It is our limbic brain that feeds the gut reactions and gut decisions that drive our behavior. It gives us the ability to form strong emotional bonds with others, and these strong social bonds allow us to work together to do all the things our Homo sapien neocortices can dream up. If we weren't able to trust each other and work together, no matter how smart we were, we would die young and alone. We would never feel the joy of being in relationships, have the feeling of being in a circle of people with whom we share the same values and beliefs, or the intense feeling of goodness that comes from doing something for someone else. As much as we like to think that it is our smarts that get us ahead, it is not everything. Our intelligence gives us ideas and instructions, but it is our ability to cooperate that actually helps us get those things done. Nothing of real value on this earth was ever built by one person without the help of others. There are few accomplishments, companies, or technologies that were built by one person without the help or support of anyone else. It is clear that the more others want to help us, the more we can achieve. And it is our ability to get things done that has produced one of the greatest paradoxes of the modern era. In our pursuit to advance, we have, without intending to, built a world that is making it harder and harder for us to cooperate. The symptoms of this cruel irony are easy to feel in the developed world. Feelings of isolation and high stress have fueled industries that are profiting from our search for happiness. Self-help books, courses, and any number of pharmaceuticals make up multi-billion dollar industries designed to help us find that elusive happiness, or, at the very least, to reduce our stress. In only a few decades, the self-help business alone has grown to $11 billion. The biggest thing the self-help industry seems to have helped is itself. Our search for happiness and connection has also led us to seek professional advice. In the 1950s, few of us went to weekly sessions with a therapist. Today, in the U.S., according to the Hoover Institute, there are 77,000 clinical psychologists, 192,000 clinical social workers, 105,000 mental health counselors, 50,000 marriage and family therapists, 17,000 nurse psychotherapists, and 30,000 life coaches. The only reason the field continues to grow is because of increasing demand. The more we try to make ourselves feel better, the worse we seem to feel. That only a minority of employees feel fulfilled and truly happy at work is our own doing. We have built systems and constructed organizations that force the human animal to work in environments in which it does not work best. With an excess of dopamine to drive us and cortisol flowing when we don't need it, we have actually short-circuited our system to do the opposite, to encourage us to look out for ourselves first and be suspicious of others. If the human being is a snowmobile, this means we are designed to operate in very specific conditions. Take the machine designed for one kind of condition, snow, and put it in another condition, the desert, for example, and it won't operate as well. Sure, the snowmobile will go, it just won't go as easily or as well as if it were in the right conditions. This is what has happened in many of our modern organizations. And when progress is slow or innovation is lacking, leaders tinker with the machine. They hire and fire in hopes of getting the right mix. They develop new kinds of incentives to encourage the machine to work harder. With an incentivizing cocktail of dopamine, the machines will indeed work harder and maybe even go a little faster in the desert. But the friction is great. What too many leaders of organizations fail to appreciate is that it's not the people that are the problem. The people are fine. Rather, it's the environment in which the people operate that is the problem. Get that right, and things just go. To a social animal, trust is like lubrication. It reduces friction and creates conditions much more conducive to performance, just like putting the snowmobile back in the snow. Do that, and even an underpowered snowmobile will run circles around the most powerful snowmobile in the wrong conditions. It's not how smart the people in the organization are. It's how well they work together that is the true indicator of future success or the ability to manage through struggle. Trust and commitment are feelings that we get from the release of chemical incentives deep in our limbic brain. And as such, they are inherently hard to measure. Just as we can't simply tell someone to be happy and expect them to be happy, we can't just tell someone to trust us or to commit to something and expect they will. There are all sorts of things we need to do first before someone will feel any sense of loyalty or devotion. There are some basic tenets that all leaders of organizations must obey to build deep trust and commitment among the people who work for them. And in a very undopamine way, it will take time, energy, and the will of people for these things to work. All this begs the question, how did we get ourselves into the desert in the first place?